Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, and we are doing things a little backwards this week. Today, I'm going to do the part two on the two-door strategy. Now, I didn't come up with the strategy or the title of it. Rachel did, which if you haven't listened to that part one episode, go back, listen to that interview I did with her, where she introduces this idea, essentially, of being able to have some sort of time freedom or achieve some sort of goal after two doors and what that meant for her. And then, you know, when I was talking to her, I thought it was really interesting because I realized that like that two doors, that doing it right, like getting those first two doors done right, had a big impact on my own life. Meaning like I was able to achieve some time freedom to be able to walk away from my job or you know, do some other things as well. And so I want to continue that conversation and dive into some of the mechanics as to how you know or what you should be really shooting for. So this is great because most of us listening to this might have just one property or no properties, or maybe you have two already and they could have not gone as well as you had hoped. So what does it look like to be at that two-door, take advantage of that two-door strategy? So number one, I think it's really important, like the number of doors doesn't really matter. So two doors, three doors, one door, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's more of the outcome, okay? So are we actually measuring our outcome as we're progressing? Meaning like, do we know what we're cash flowing and, you know, making on a monthly basis? I know things are seasonal, so I had a really good conversation with someone who is has a property in Maine the other day. And it was interesting because they were talking about like how expensive it was for utilities in the wintertime. And it's like, yeah, it's really expensive. I mean, anywhere that gets really cold is going to be expensive. My expenses in my properties in New York, you know, are insane. It doubles. It's almost it is almost triple what it is in the summertime. You know, and so it was helping understand like, look, like, yes, the expenses are maybe higher than what was like originally projected or thought of. But we also need to understand that as we look at the full year and we're tracking the full year, that's the key word here. And that's kind of the point I want to make is track the full year, because after the year, you'll find that the average is actually here. And so cash flow will fluctuate throughout the year. So in the wintertime, there's just a lot more expenses because of the upkeep, especially if you're in wintertime markets. You have snow plowing and, you know, you got to salt and sand and do all this other stuff. Well, not some people sand, but mainly salt. Salt and deal with the upkeep. Sometimes cleaning is a little bit more. In other markets where wintertime is really slow, you're just eating expenses like the monthly mortgage, the insurance, all those things, like things aren't being paid for. I'm going through a massive renovation right now on one of my properties. When I say massive, I mean, it's $80,000. I mean, it's massive to me. It's probably massive to a lot of people too. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's shut down for 2 months. I'm making zero income in those 2 months. And so I had to budget and I had to really make sure this was planned out months in advance, at least six, where I was like, look, do I have enough? Do I have a reserve? Am I getting enough from this property to justify doing this big of a project and really preparing myself for that? But that's an example of like saving for a project. But when you're saving for this like two-door strategy goal of being able to accomplish something, it really starts with tracking. Okay. Are you tracking your day-to-day expenses? Are you tracking your revenue? And then ultimately, are you tracking your cash flow? Okay. Are you tracking on a monthly basis, quarterly, yearly? I don't really, the quarterly thing is more of like a kind of a business thing, but really it's monthly and yearly, right? Like at the end of the year, how much money did you make? Okay. After the end of the month, did you break even or did you come out of pocket or did you make money? You know, like those are the real mechanics of it. But the reality is like, we need to look at each of those to understand how well our properties are doing. The reason why I think this is powerful is it worked for me, it worked for Rachel, it worked for so many other people to be able to walk away or have some like achieve some sort of goal from this strategy is because we were tracking it. Most people don't. They don't track it. They just assume, oh, wow, I heard so-and-so that they were able to leave their jobs or become super successful off of like two or three properties. But they didn't understand like the back end operation side that no one really talks about, which is the tracking and making sure that we understand where we're at. Okay. So if you already have short-term rentals, you need to be tracking it just to see how you're doing and how you're progressing. I love to see how I'm doing year over year too. That helps me know like, wow, I'm actually growing and you know, the portfolio is going doing well. Or sometimes some months are worse year over year. And I ask myself, what was different? And that's where I can learn and improve upon. And normally when I see, okay, I didn't really manage my pricing that well for this month, or, you know, wow, my pricing was like much lower than I had hoped or higher or whatever. Then it's like, do I need to adjust for the future? And 9 times out of 10, I do. And I get more money and then I end up doing better than I did the year before. So making those monthly adjustments and tracking it is huge to know where you're at, how you're progressing, because ultimately you need to get to a specific goal. Now, one of the things that you need to think about, like just like me, like just because I was able to accomplish something doesn't mean it's the end. Okay. My goal, when I was thinking about it at the time, it seems big and scary and like, wow, like leave my W-2, like stability, you know, all this stuff, like in health insurance, like being able to leave that and have that goal, it seemed scary at the time. But when I look back at it, I was like, well, that was kind of a good first step. You know, like there's so much more that I want to achieve and accomplish. But I feel like if I had set my eyes too high or too far beyond just leaving my job, I might not have found that right opportunity to leave my job. And I think, and then when I left my job, it's like, okay, let's get another goal and another goal and another goal. And we set these like, you know, scary goals, but they're obtainable. They're doable, right? But we still have to set something. Now, a lot of people listening here actually don't want to leave their jobs tomorrow. Okay. Some of you do, some of you don't, and that's okay. But the reality is you need to determine what that big, scary goal is, whether it's leaving the job or just having freedom, maybe cut back hours. And that's okay too. Or if you wanted to leave your job, you could. Or if you wanted to, you know, if you have a spouse or whatever, you don't want them to work anymore, you wanted to save a certain amount of money for college, kids' college tuition or something, whatever it is. But you got to set something out the gate that's attainable, okay? Because at the end of the day, I think setting a goal to generate $250,000 to, you know, $500,000, it sounds relatable, but is it achievable quickly? No, it takes a lot of time. It takes years, 5 years. I'm not trying to like reference, I am, but also I'm not at the same time, because I don't want to like, I'm not trying to target anything in specific. I just want to say like these like big long-term, like think 5-10 year goals, they're good to have, but they're not the ones you should be focusing on. You should be focusing on the wins that are like the year to 2 years. Okay. Cause that's where the groundwork, that's the today gets done. Too many times people think, you know, way in advance, 5-10 years, I'm going to be at this point, which is awesome. I think we still should do that. But then they're not doing the small in-betweens that are the things that actually get you there. What I mean by that is like, they're not setting goals for this year. They're not setting goals for 2 years. Okay. That setting those are how you achieve the 5 years, the 10 years, the 20 year goals. Okay. So it's like, set these obtainable goals. So if I wanted to make $250,000 in 5 years and I wanted to do it in, you know, say 3 or 4 properties, well, what am I going to do this year that's going to help me get towards that goal? Because obviously I can't do it in a year, right? And maybe I don't even have the capital to get halfway there or a third of the way there, but I need to set something that I can really wrap my head around and go, you know what? That's not that hard to get to. Because once you start achieving the goals that you set, you get momentum. And momentum helps you achieve the confidence you need to be able to go out and set your mind and accomplish anything you want to do. Okay. And those big 5-year, 10-year goals that you want to accomplish. And that's the ultimate goal, is getting momentum. And you only get momentum by tracking things, number one, and setting reasonable expectation and attainable short-term goals as well. Okay. Right now, I'm currently in Destin, Florida. Okay. We go to Destin to, it's actually kind of funny. We go to Destin to get away from the cold in January. Go figure. I snowbird already. I'm in my 30s and I'm snowbirding. But the thing though is it's actually cold here right now. It's like 34 degrees outside, which is insane. It's supposed to snow here in Destin. It hasn't snowed in like 40 years or something crazy like that. And so like, I'm kind of disappointed in that, but at least it's sunny outside. Okay. It's not sunny in Buffalo right now. So Destin, I'm here in Destin, and guess what? I'm planning here for SCR Insights, our business goals for the year, okay, for 2025. And we set quarterly goals and we set yearly goals so that in the quarter, so each quarter we can review and see, oh, how are we doing, like financially and just goals of what we wanted to accomplish for the year and big plans. And frankly, things move slowly. I can't tell you how many times in this business I've got some really, really good ideas, or people gave me really good ideas. And although like, they were amazing ideas, I just knew that we weren't going to be able to pull them off in the amount of time that, you know, we thought. It's just like, oh, well, that's such a good idea. We should just start doing that tomorrow. And it just doesn't work like that, right? But I'm like, look, I'm going to take it one bite size at a time. Okay. And that's what I did last year. I learned this lesson last year. We're take one bite size at a time, accomplish one big thing at a time, and then look back at it at the end of the year and go, I did it. Okay. And last year we did it. We improved our revenue by 25% year over year, which is huge. 25%. Okay. So like that's a big deal, especially for a startup company. And it was how we attacked a particular problem. I could attack 50 problems at the same time, but I said, no, I'm only going to attack one and we're going to nail it. And that's what we did. And that one change grew our company by 25%. And that's exactly how you should be approaching your STR investing world as well. Tack one small thing, or one thing that's attainable and doable. I say small, it could be large or whatever, but it's like this goal that you've set that's easily attainable in the year if you focus and put in the time and energy to do it. That's going to help you and really help you get that experience and exposure to accomplish this two-door strategy, or whatever door you want to call it, strategy. Because it's not about the doors. It's about the effect from the doors, the momentum you gain, and then the cash flow that you're getting from the doors. Okay. A lot of people struggle, the ones who are looking to leave your W-2 jobs, you just don't know when to do it. And the problem is it comes from the goal setting side. So you haven't set clear, defined goals to know at what point are you going to take action, or what point are you going to say, I've done it, I've accomplished it. Because if you never do that, you'll always be searching. Last year with SCR Insights, I was like, man, we just plateaued. We just felt like we weren't going anywhere and doing anything. And I just realized that it was because we were tacking too many different things at the same time. And it felt really like ADHD. Okay. It probably was. And that's just not how it works in business. Things are a little bit slower. So we attack one thing at a time, bite size. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And I'm telling you, you will be able to look back in a year. And that's the ability. If you're able to look back, it's kind of a gratitude thing too. It's just a principle of being grateful for being able to take a moment and take a breath and say, what have I been able to accomplish, and be proud of that. That gives you the courage and the confidence to take the next step forward, to go on to the next property, to find the next deal, the next market, whatever it is, to really accomplish and move on to a point where you're setting bigger and stronger goals. I want the listeners here to understand that, you know, I think that anything that you set out like with this in the investing in the short-term rental space, it's all very obtainable and it's not that hard to do, but a lot of people can't do it because they're not doing these basic, simple things. It really comes down to the basics, the fundamentals. Are we tracking our numbers? Are we setting realistic goals. I'm not perfect, guys. I don't always set goals and I'm like, okay, cool. And each quarter that I nail every single one of these. Sometimes I forget the goal I set. What's really interesting, I like to do this exercise where I have a whiteboard in my office. It's like in the corner of my room, kind of in an obscure area. And I write down my goals for the year. And then even though it's like right there in my face, I really don't look at it that often. I don't review it. I'm not like, okay, like, am I on track or what else? Which things I should probably do because I just told you you should do it too. But here's the crazy thing. It's kind of like a dream board. Think of it like a dream board. I put it there and I set it right there because there's this weird thing I've learned that if I put it on the wall where I can still visually see it like subconsciously, at the end of the year, it happens. It's weird. I've done that every single year. And I usually set like three or four like kind of crazy goals. And each year, like I hit it. And it's not like I was like actively like tracking to accomplish. Sometimes it's like I wanted to read a certain series of books. And yeah, sure, I started at the beginning of the year, but like I was like, oh, I want to read these books, you know, and throughout the year, like kind of stops and wanes and all this stuff. Or like I wanted to reach a certain financial amount and like just some personal goals, like physical goals and things like that. And I put them on the board there. And then I just throughout the year, it's just kind of there in a forgotten corner, but it's there. And it's just in kind of there in my face, like on the side, you know, and I'll look up at it and I'm just like, you know, I don't really think much of it because it's just always sits there. But then at the end of the year, I always like to go to it. And then I really look at it and go, did I accomplish these things? And it's crazy how many times I have. And it partly it's just there in your freaking face. And sometimes we need that. And I think that that's a big element. Maybe my method doesn't work for you and that's okay. But the point is like, we have to realize what we're accomplishing. We won't get the momentum. We won't get the comp. There's this grass is greener syndrome that people suffer from. It's keeping up with the Joneses. That's what it is. And I'm going to do a whole episode on this another time because I think it's really important. But like keeping up with the Joneses is like detrimental to our confidence. We always think like, well, I'm not the prettiest or I'm not the tallest. I'm not the this. I'm not you know, the richest or the most successful in the room or whatever. And it's like, okay, you're never going to be all of those things or really any of those things. There's always going to be someone who's prettier, taller, you know, cooler, richer, whatever. But you've got to realize where you're at. If you don't, you're never going to feel satisfied and you're always going to be chasing. A lesson I'm still like learning to this day, keep this in mind, is like if you chase money, money will not follow. Let money follow you by stuff. So stop chasing it. Stop trying to do what everybody else is doing and or thinking about like, what's this guy, you know, like following these people and trying to like do every single thing that they've done and want every single thing that they have. Okay. I know that that's really hard to like, it's easier said than done for sure. But like, you've got to take a moment and go, what have I been able to accomplish in my life given my circumstances? Because your circumstances are completely different. And I guarantee you it's impressive. And to hear some of your guys' stories, I mean, it's impressive for someone who's a doctor, who's got this crazy, like, you know, 60 hour work week to be able to have a successful rental portfolio and actually pull this off. I mean, I have family who are doctors and they make terrible real estate investments. That's actually pretty common for doctors is to make terrible real estate. It's like a joke in the industry. If you have a terrible deal, you sell it to a doctor because they just don't know. They're not trained in finance. They're trained in how to like, you know, heal people, right? Or help people out. And so like, that's impressive and that's proud. Even if you have a property or two, it's impressive for, you know, the stay-at-home mom who's been doing this and running the show and learning a new skill, you know, and especially like raising kids and like helping kids and doing that and probably working a part-time job as well. These are all impressive things. Even if you have just one property or two properties or three, or if you're trying to get in this, it's impressive that you found this industry and you found something that can work for you and get you excited. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I got into it because I thought long-term rentals were boring. They are boring. Okay. It's boring to make $300 a month in cash flow. Like that sucks. Like it's not fun. And then it's like tenants and all this other things. It's like, that's not as fun and sexy as short-term rentals. And so you should be proud that you're like finding and researching and actually like taking the time and being open to these ideas. We have to do that. And I promise you guys, as you do these things that I'm telling you, you will feel more accomplished and you'll get momentum. And that's the goal. That's the two-door strategy summed up. Love what Rachel said. Add in, sprinkle in a little bit of Kenny in that, and you're well on your way. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And guys, if you have, be sure to share this with a friend or family, whatever you want, who's interested in investing in short-term rentals. And let's just make this episode go big, or the series. So I thought it was a really good week. So I hope you enjoyed this, and I'll see you on the next episode of Cashflow Positive.